This morning we're going to look at a scripture that is definitely applicable to the New Testament times and is one that sometimes we have to put ourselves in that context because it's not a role that we are familiar with as much in our current society. But once you get familiar with it, boy, it changes a lot about how you view the Lord. And that's the role of a shepherd. The Bible teaches us, as we're going to see in this morning, that Jesus is the good shepherd. And we think of shepherds tend to be as pastors, because that's what pastor means, as a shepherd. But Peter says that Jesus is the chief shepherd of our souls. He's the one who's guiding us and leading us and wants to lead us. And the role of a shepherd, especially in the Israelite culture, was an important role because the sheep were special, because the sheep had to be tended to as sacrifices for the temple. And so the sheep had a special role, and they had great security and caution that be, and it was also a source of food. And so there was a great careful responsibility given to those shepherds. And also knowing that shepherds were not necessarily the most respected people in society, because, well, they lived among livestock. And so people didn't really think so highly of them, but they had an important role. And so we're going to read this morning about the Good Shepherd. And what does that mean, that Jesus is the Good Shepherd? That maybe, like David alludes to, the Lord is my shepherd. What does this mean, that Lord Jesus, he's our Good Shepherd? And so we're going to look at John chapter 10, verse 11, and look at this scripture here. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And the hired hand, who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. And the hired hand runs, because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. And I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. And just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. We see here Jesus proclaiming, not just proclaiming to anybody, he's proclaiming to this crowd here, among many Jews who, well, they go on later after this and they say, this guy, he's a demon, he's out of his mind, he doesn't know what he's talking about. But Jesus stands up here and he proclaims something that is a wonderful truth to a people that are going about their ways. They're confused, they're lost, they don't know what's happening in their culture anymore, they don't know what's God's role. He's been silent for 400 years, and then Jesus shows up on the scene and proclaims, I'm the good shepherd. I'm the one. I'm the good shepherd. And he talks to them a little bit about the good shepherd and versus a hired hand, which we're going to look at in a minute. But before we get there, there's another scripture I want to read to you this morning, just so we can understand a little bit what's in the heart of a shepherd. Not just any shepherd, but Jesus, the good shepherd. What is the good shepherd focused on? What's the eyes of the good shepherd looking for? What's his heart all about? And in Matthew 9 and 35, the Bible says that Jesus, he was going about doing ministry. He went from city to city and town to town. He was teaching, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom. And the Bible says that he cured diseases and sicknesses. But something happened in the shepherd's heart. The Bible says that he saw the crowds. And this thing happened in him. He had compassion for them. He had compassion for them. Why did he have compassion for them? Bible doesn't say he had compassion for them because they were sick. The Bible doesn't say that he had compassion for them because they were hungry. Bible doesn't say he had compassion on them because they didn't have anywhere to sleep. Bible says he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Do you want to know what breaks Jesus' heart? You want to know what really moves Jesus, what really, at the end of the day, when you get down to it and you want to see what's in the heart of Jesus, is when he looks out and he sees sheep and they don't have a shepherd. When he looks out and he sees somebody in a position that they are harassed and helpless like a sheep without a shepherd. That's what moves Jesus' heart. That's where compassion wells up in Jesus and he is wanting to move to action. Why is that? Well, because Jesus understands and he knows that without a shepherd, we don't stand a chance. We don't stand a chance. It's just like we read. The wolf comes and snatches them away. There's a thief that comes. All the dangers that come to sheep without a shepherd. And Jesus knows that what you and I need the most is a shepherd. And not just any shepherd, but this shepherd, the good shepherd, Jesus. And so Jesus is the good shepherd. And what Jesus' heart is about is looking for those. The Bible said there in John chapter 10, he is looking for those who, I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also. You know what Jesus is looking for? He's not looking for better accessories for the sheep. He's not looking for better resources. What's in the heart of Jesus is there's sheep that are not in this fold that need to be in this fold. I must bring them also. The heart of Jesus is this: I must bring them also. May you and I never forget that the heart of Jesus is not bigger buildings, it's not bigger budgets, it's not greater programs. In the heart of Jesus is, I must bring them also. I must bring them also. There are people who are roaming about and they are like sheep without a shepherd. And here Jesus is moved to compassion for them. And what he wants his church to do as well is to be moved as well and say, but you must bring them, Jesus. Get them here. They must also know you. That's the heart of Jesus. And oftentimes what happens, especially in Western Christianity, is we get focused on all the wrong things while Jesus is standing by on the sidelines saying, but I must bring them also. In the heart of Jesus is a longing for the lost, a burden that wants. He loves them. He sees them. Yes, they spew hate. Yes, they're spewing cursings at us. Yes, they may detest the ministry. But in his heart is, I must bring them also. Because the heart of Jesus is why? For the Son of Man came to what? Seek and save the who? The lost. In the heart of Jesus is a moving well of love for the lost. Always has been, always will be. If you and I don't pick up that mission, Jesus' heart is still the lost. The lost, the lost. Yes, Jesus cares about his church. Yes, Jesus wants to edify the church. But in the heart of Jesus is the mission that he came and started in the book of Acts, in the New Testament, handed over to the disciples with the help of the Holy Spirit. The Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. Now you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses. Why? Because the heart of Jesus is the lost. The lost. That's what the shepherd's after. The lost. He's after the lost. As a matter of fact, in one place, Jesus teaches this teaching, which we're going to look at a little later. But just to give you an example of how his heart is. He teaches an example in Luke 15. And he talks about the parable of the sheep. And he says, there's 100 sheep. And one of them runs away. He's going after the one. Why? Because that sheep is without a shepherd. They're lost. Here is Jesus. There's 99 sheep. They're in the fold, but there's one who is not. That tells me something about the heart of Jesus. Is Jesus is always after the one. He's not after the crowds. He's not after the multitudes, as sometimes we think in big church mindset. He is after the one. One by one. One by one come to him. One by one. If there's one that goes lost, he's willing to leave 99 just to go get them. That's the heart of Jesus, the lost. He had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And this morning, you're maybe here, and maybe you're lost. Maybe you don't know the Lord. And in the heart of Jesus is just this overflowing well for you of love. You don't know him. You don't have a life with him. You've maybe never done anything for him. That's okay. Inside of him is a well of love that sees you, that knows you, and that wants you to know his love. Why is that? Well, let's talk about that for a few minutes. The good shepherd. Jesus gives an example about, he says, I'm the good shepherd. There's Jesus, the good shepherd, but then he compares it and he says, well, there's other people that get in this role. They're called hired hands. So like, say the shepherd, he's not up to the task one day. Well, we've got to pay somebody to come in and do the role of the shepherd. Someone who's going to step in, well, they're just in it for the money. They're not in it for the sheep. And Jesus talks about the hired hand and his role versus the hired hand. And number one, we're going to see this about a hired hand, is a hired hand takes from you, but Jesus gives to you. The Bible says in John 10:10, I came that they may have life, and not just have any life, but have it abundantly. A hired hand comes to get money. A hired hand comes to get things from you. It's like, what, you're not doing what I'm asking you to do. It's a demand. There's a you do, and I expect something in return. And this is the nature of the world. Is our world is serving a hired hand. It's, what can I get out of you? Let me suck the life out of you instead of give life to you. How can I take something from you? Because the hired hand, the enemy of the world, the Bible tells us, is after to steal, kill, and destroy from us. So a hired hand is all about robbing you. It's all about, you think you're following something good. Oh, I've got it together. I am following the American dream. My life is all together. But listen, that's a hired hand. You're always living up to what the hired hand wants. But when Jesus comes, no, he doesn't, there's no, none of that. As a matter of fact, with Jesus, there is no expectation. As a matter of fact, with Jesus, you don't even have to be in that fold, and he's going after you. Why? Because he came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. A hired hand is never looking outside of the fold. The hired hand is always focused inwardly. It's always about selfishness. It's self-centered. It's always about building self. That this is the picture of the world. It is always centrally focused. It has no focus on people who are not in the fold. It has no focus on the lost. It has no focus on those who are injured and lay waiting the help of a shepherd to come along and scoop them up. But Jesus came that they might have life and have it more abundantly. This morning, the good news of the gospel is that Jesus is, he's not just any shepherd. He's the good shepherd. Why is he a good shepherd? Because he gives. You couldn't call him good if he didn't have anything good to give you. But he's the good shepherd because he wants to give goodness unto us. Surely goodness and mercy, Psalm 23, shall follow me all the days of my life. Why? Because the shepherd wants the good for me. A hired hand doesn't want that for you. The thing that you're attached to in this world, you can insert in the blank whatever it be. It does not have your best interest in mind. If it does not consider your soul and the picture of eternity, listen, it does not have your best interest in mind. I don't care how good it looks. If it's not Jesus, the chief shepherd of our soul, it's a hired hand. Our world is being led astray by hired hands. Let me follow this religion and see. Let me follow this practice and see. And it's all about demanding something. But there is no religion, there is no doctrine like Jesus who says, but I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. That's only Jesus. That's only Christianity. That's only the movement of the disciples in the book of Acts. Giving life. God wants to raise dead things unto life. That's the gospel. You can be serving a hired hand, but listen, Jesus is after you. He wants you to be your good shepherd. He wants you to follow him because the places that he leads you, it's life, it's goodness. And all that you and I today, if there's any hired hand we're following, some addiction or some bad relationship or some false ambitious goal, oh, that we abandon that flock and follow Jesus, the good shepherd. The second thing we're going to see here about the hired hand, the Bible says this is like the epitome of the problem of a hired hand. Verse 12, John 10:12, the hired hand who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep sees the wolf coming, leaves the sheep and runs away. and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. Talk about a coward. That's a coward. But that's the world. That's how the enemy steals and kills and destroys, is make you think that you're in good hands. Make you think that he owns you, like it says right here. No. Make you think that everything is okay, but that moment of danger is up ahead. Left you hanging high and dry. Left you out for lunch for the wolves. That's how it works. Hired hand has no interest in your soul, has no interest in what's good for you, has no interest in how to build you up or edify you or to get you attached to the real purpose that God created you for. Has none of that in mind. But the good shepherd does. As a matter of fact, this is different. There's been a lot of shepherds. There's been a lot of shepherds throughout the Bible times. But Jesus changes the narrative a little bit. As a matter of fact, Jesus loves these sheep so much, the Bible says, he paints himself as this picture. He's the good shepherd. Not only does he not run away, not only does he fight, the Bible says this, and the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. No hired hand is laying down their life. No hired hand is saying, I'm willing to give it all up for you. I'm willing to fight the wolf off and let him kill me so that you might live. That's the picture of the gospel. That's what Jesus did on the cross. He took the penalty of death. That was supposed to be you and I. You and I were supposed to be snatched up by wolf, the enemy, devoured by sin. That's what Jesus is saying here. That was supposed to be all of us. But the good shepherd stepped in and he fought the wolf off. Defeated the wolf, as a matter of fact. Yes, it cost him his life. Oh, but he was raised again. He had power. This is the heart of Jesus, is the hired hand runs away, but Jesus lays it all down. Hired hand has no interest in your soul, but Jesus has all the interest in the soul to the point where he laid it all down for you. And there's this misconception in the world that, oh, if I just follow this thing, there's going to come something good for it. But listen, Jesus has already paid the price. He already laid it all down. What more could you want? He paid the price for your sins and is inviting you and I to come and surrender everything over to him. Stop following a hired hand. Has no interest in your soul. Has no interest in your safety, in your well-being, and in your eternity. Has nothing in that of mine. But Jesus does. As a matter of fact, Jesus laid down his life before all of us were even born. 2,000 years ago. None of us were existent, right? But yet he saw us even then and laid it all down. Talk about a good shepherd. That's a good shepherd. If there's anybody I'm going to want to follow, it's the one who's going to lay down their life for me, who's going to defend and fight and protect. And that's the role of the good shepherd. He's fighting for you and I. Oh, how the wolf tries to come and leaves the sheep and runs away. But Jesus, he wants to be the good shepherd. As a matter of fact, the Bible says this about in Amos, gives a picture of the house of Israel. And he tells the house of Israel, like a shepherd will come and rescue, in Amos 3:12, like a shepherd will come and rescue a lamb that a wolf has come, save a piece of an ear and two legs. I'm going to come and rescue you, Israel. What's that? What does that mean, like save a piece of an ear and two legs? Well, it's a picture of the nature of a role of a shepherd. A shepherd knew when he came upon a lamb, came upon a sheep that had been devoured by a wolf. A wolf had attacked it. The shepherd had to make a decision. Well, at what point do we let this sheep right here just die? Or at what point do I try to nurse it back to health? And so the principle was, if there was an ear and there was two legs to stand on, why was that? What was the significance of that? Well, a sheep had to learn, as John tells us here in John 10, you can read it in other parts of this chapter, a sheep had to learn the voice of the shepherd. So he needed an ear. If he didn't know the voice of the shepherd, he was prone to wander again and would then be attacked over and over again. He'd be separated from the flock and couldn't hear. But sheep understood the voice of the shepherd and understood their commands and understood when to stay near. And the legs, that's self-explanatory. He had to have at least two legs to bring a healing enough to his body so that he could walk again. And as a matter of fact, the shepherd of the sheep is not going to walk around with just two legs. It needs four. So what does the shepherd do? The shepherd does the beautiful thing here that Jesus does for us all. He comes like babies, like when we come to Christ. He takes them. The shepherd puts them. You might have seen pictures of this before. The shepherd puts them on their shoulder, two legs here and two legs here, and carries that lamb while he's taking care of all the other sheep. Why does the shepherd do that? Well, number one, the shepherd does that because the sheep can't walk. And number two, the shepherd does that because he wants that sheep to learn his voice. And that's just what Jesus does. He's looking and he's wanting everyone. There's other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also. And he's wanting to put them on his shoulders and that they can learn his voice to stay near again. And that they could have four legs to stand on their own and have the strength and the help. And Jesus, his heart is that I will lay it all down for this sheep. I'm willing to carry him everywhere and just nurse him back to life, bring him to good water and good pasture. That's a good shepherd. That's what Jesus does for all of us. All of us were lost and astray. All of us far away from God. But how Jesus loved us so much, he puts us on his shoulder, cares for us. I want you to learn my voice. I don't want you to just learn my voice. I want you to learn how to walk on your own. And so I'm going to carry you until you have the strength to do it. And that's the God's grace working for you and I, helping us, you and I, little babes in Christ. We can't even make it on our own. But the grace of God's just coming and strengthening and helping us. Why? A hired hand runs away, but Jesus, he lays it all down. The third thing we see this about a hired hand. He says the hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. Does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also. This is simple, but let's explore it a little bit. Of course, if the good shepherd loves us, he's going to lay his life down. But there's just a little deeper thought here. A hired hand does not care. Does not care. And if the hired hand does not care, then Jesus implies the good shepherd cares. What does the good shepherd care about? Well, the good shepherd cares that there's other sheep that do not belong to this fold, and I must bring them also. So what's Jesus mean by that? Let's look at Luke 15. Jesus talks about this. As a matter of fact, he not only talks about this, but he preaches this parable and the audience of tax collectors, Pharisees, and sinners, and tells them this story. He says, which one of you having 100 sheep and losing one of them does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my lost sheep. Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Now that's good, but Jesus knows there's some tax collectors present, so he wants to talk about money to get their attention. Or what woman having 10 silver coins, if she loses one of them, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? Oh, he's getting at the heart of the tax collectors now. He knows you lost the coin. You're going to go find it. It's hitting home now. And when she's found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, rejoice for me, for I found the coin that I had lost. Just so I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. If Jesus didn't care, he'd be content to stay with 99. It's just one. What does that matter? That's how a hired hand thinks. It's just one sheep. We've got 99. There's nothing much I can do for him now. But that's not the heart of a good shepherd. The heart of the good shepherd is, even if one goes astray, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to leave them right there, and I'm going to go until I find him. I'm going to find him. I'm going to search after him, and I'm going to keep going. As a matter of fact, think about it like this. There's darkness. Woman's lost all her money. She's sweeping. She turns on all the lights. She takes that broom and she's working hard. That's the picture of Jesus. He's working hard for you. You don't even know it. You're lost. You don't even know that you're lost, but Jesus is looking for you. That little sheep doesn't even know they're lost. He's just out there, just wandering around, just kind of finding some pasture here and there. But Jesus, he doesn't realize, the sheep doesn't realize, that coin doesn't realize somebody is after it. Oh, but when Jesus finds it, what a reunion it is. As a matter of fact, the Bible tells us this. This isn't found anywhere else in Scripture. This isn't found anywhere else in Scripture, this picture of when someone comes home. And as a matter of fact, this picture is so important. And I just want you to really grasp the heart of Jesus this morning, because I really just sense this morning. We need to get this in us. The heart of Jesus, remember what we talked about in Matthew 9? He had compassion on them. They were like sheep without a shepherd. He was moved with compassion. He was moved with compassion. So here Jesus is. He's moved with compassion because he sees them like a sheep without a shepherd. But on the flip side of that is a scene in heaven. Here's Jesus weeping over one who's like a sheep without a shepherd. But then when that one becomes under the good shepherd, all heaven erupts. Listen, heaven's not erupting because we got a job promotion. Heaven's not erupting because there's some provision, or maybe there's some thing, good thing that worked out. Heaven's not erupting that who gets in the White House. Heaven's not erupting over decisions that are made in this country's leadership. Heaven's not erupting on trivial matters or even in big matters that may be in our mind. Why is heaven erupting? Because there was one who was lost and who is now found. You want to see a scene in heaven? It's when there's one, just one, the Bible says. Come on, hear the heart of Jesus. Just one. He's not saying 20. He's not even saying 5. He said, if there's just one who is found, who was in this position of loss, but now all of the angels start rejoicing and praising God. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that in the presence of the angels of God, there is joy. Joy, listen, you think that there's a place where there would be joy, it'd be heaven. But for some reason, more joy comes into heaven at this moment than a sinner that leaves lostness and comes. And the angels, there's a sense of new joy coming in because a lost had been found. And in the heart of Jesus is this well of compassion. A hired hand doesn't care, but Jesus cares. And in his eyes are eyes that are looking for the lost, looking after them and seeing them. You think that son or daughter's astray. All Jesus knows, and his eyes are on them. He's beholding them. The eye of is right on them, narrowing down in their situation. You think there's a family member, a brother, a sister, a spouse who's away from the Lord, and you're worried. No, the heart of Jesus is moved with compassion for them. And he's awaiting the day where he can hear the sound of angels saying, praise God, they came home. That's what heaven's rejoicing about. You and I, we get excited over little things, but heaven, oh, they get excited over this scene. And this is important to the heart of God. When one sinner repents and comes home, when one, there's 99 righteous person, they don't need repentance, but there's one lost person. They need repentance, and all of heaven breaks loose. Oh, we get excited when God's presence moves among us. But Jesus, heaven gets excited when a lost person's name, the pen goes up and hits the pages in the Lamb's Book of Life. Heaven rejoices. Oh, they're just gathered around that book waiting to see a new name that would be wrote. That's what brings excitement to heaven. And to think for a moment that heaven could get any better, for the angels, somehow it can. There's more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents. Jesus cares for the lost. His eyes are for the lost. And the musicians are going to come. I want to leave you with this story this morning. In Luke chapter 19, I'm just going to summarize it. The Bible tells us this story of a tax collector who, listen, they nobody liked tax collectors. The truth is, nobody still does, right? Right? But Jesus, His heart was different. His heart was different. As a matter of fact, word got to Zacchaeus that Jesus was about to come near. And Zacchaeus does something. The Bible says that he went up in a tree and he went to seek after Jesus. And you know, here's Jesus. Jesus is used to crowds by now. As a matter of fact, this has been an ongoing issue. There's so many crowds around Jesus that sometimes they have to like help him get out so they don't trample him. There's just so many people trying to get to him. But somehow, Jesus always does this. Always does this. There could be a crowd of people. There's a multitude of people trying to get to him, but there's one that always sticks out to Jesus. And here was one sticking out to Jesus, Zacchaeus. And somehow Jesus, walking down those streets, looked up in that tree and saw, here's a tax collector that's looking after me. He's trying to get to me. What do you think happened in the heart of Jesus in that moment? I think a lot of things happened in the heart of Jesus. I don't really know for sure, but I know one thing that happened is that Jesus was moved. As a matter of fact, here's a horde of people around him. Jesus looks up in that tree over all that crowd of people. Zacchaeus, come on down. I'm going to stay at your house. Why did Jesus say that? The Bible goes on to say, Zacchaeus got before the Lord. He said, look, Lord, I've given over half of my possessions. I've given to the poor. If I've defrauded anyone of anything, I'll pay it back four times as much. What's he doing there? Well, Zacchaeus is doing in his religious world what he knows to do best is in just these frail things is he's repenting. He's pouring it out before Jesus. He's laying it all out there. Oh, and Jesus says something wonderful. He hears this man's repentant prayer. And what does Jesus say? Today, salvation has come to this house because he too is a son of Abraham. What does Jesus go on to say after that? For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. There was lost Zacchaeus stuck in a tree. But Jesus, there's 99 people, but there's always the one. And he saw the one. And he said, today, Zacchaeus, I'm coming to your house. What was the trigger there? Zacchaeus' heart. Zacchaeus said, I want to see Jesus. And then we go on to learn that not only did he want to see Jesus, he wanted to get right with Jesus. And therefore, God flooded his home. Life was changed. The tax collector despised. It didn't matter. Jesus was willing to step in that hole. It says a lot about us. You and I, there's a lot of junk in our lives. There's a lot of problems in our lives. Culture says this and that. It doesn't matter. What matters is a heart that says, I need Jesus. For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. You want the Good Shepherd? Just seek after him. Call on his name right now. And the Bible says, oh, if you are willing to confess, he is faithful and just to forgive us. He doesn't say of the things that you think he ought to forgive. He doesn't say of the things that you pictured were good to forgive. He says he's willing to forgive us of all of our unrighteousness. All of it. All of it. You can't stand up and say, well, God, maybe this thing in my life, I don't deserve. Nope. Jesus is willing, if you're willing to come to him, he's willing to forgive it all. He's willing to wash it all away. He's willing to be a brand new slate. He's willing to take the notebook and say, whatever was wrote before, it's gone. A new picture is starting. As we sang just a little bit, all things have become new. It's the best story of anyone's life. That's why Jesus said, you must be born again. Born again. What does that mean? That means you're going to start life over again. Not in this world, but spiritually babes in Christ. And you're going to grow up on the shoulders of the shepherd. And he's going to walk with you in grace and carry you and get you to the place where you can walk on his own. But it starts with a heart that says, I need Jesus. God, forgive me, change me, wash me. And in that prayer, that's a prayer that God can work for. That's a prayer that God can answer. That's a prayer that God can come through. A hired hand, they can't help you with that. There's nothing. As a matter of fact, they'll bury you under that. There's nothing they can do. They'll leave you in the dust. But Jesus, he laid down his life for you. He gave it all for you that you might have life, not just any life, but more abundantly. What's Jesus saying? You can have life right now, and not just right now, but in heaven, you and I are going to talk about it even more so. More abundantly life. Let's all stand this morning. He's the good shepherd. Every eye closed this morning. That's you this morning. You need Jesus in your life. Oh, will you let him be your good shepherd this morning? David could foreshadow all those years before the Lord would ever come. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures, and he leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul, leads me in righteous paths for his name's sake. I'm going to go through dark valleys, but guess what? I fear no evil because the good shepherd is with me. His rod and staff, they're going to comfort me. You're going to prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies, but you'll anoint my head with oil so that my cup will overflow. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Surely the good shepherd shall lead me, follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This morning you need Jesus today. Would you come and let us pray with you? You don't have to have it all together. I hope you heard that this morning. Just come to Jesus. Lord, I need you. Surrender your life to him. Hand it all over. I need you, Jesus. And that's a prayer God can work with. Lord, this morning, we come to you today. Lord, you said, your word has said, if we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us of all of our unrighteousness. And this morning we pray today, Lord, by the power of the Holy Spirit, regeneration of our heart, Lord, make us new creations in Jesus today. Make us new creations in Jesus. This morning, make us new in Jesus. May the old be gone and the new become. And Lord, for the rest of us this morning, may you give us the heart of the shepherd that sees the lost. There are many others outside of this fold. Them I must also bring. Lord, give us the heart of the shepherd, Lord. Oh God, give us a passion to reach the lost, Lord. Lord, help us to not give up praying for those in our lives who don't know you, Lord. God, would you just give us a heart to pray for them? Reach them, Lord. Reach them. This morning you're here and there's someone in your life that's away from the Lord. And they need Jesus. Would you just come stand here at the front today? We're going to pray for them this morning. Lord, today we lift them up to you, Lord, whoever it is, Lord. You said, I must bring them also, Lord. That's your heart today. So, Lord, you know who they are, Lord. You know their name today, Lord. You know where they're at this morning. And, Lord, we pray this morning, bring them also, Lord Jesus, to the fold, Lord. God, they will not enter in by any other way but by Jesus. So, Lord, today we travail, oh God, and we pray, bring them to you, Lord. Bring them home to you, Lord Jesus. Bring them to the fold, Lord. Snatch them out of the wolf's mouth, Lord. Bring them to you, Lord, today, that they may give their life to you, Lord. Oh God, we pray today. We pray that heaven would rejoice over the sinner that repents, Lord. We look forward to that moment. Oh God, come on, just call their name to the Lord right now. God is hearing this. Listen, Lord, we call to you this morning. Save them right now. Right now, where they're at, Lord Jesus, we pray. By your Spirit, move and rescue them, Lord. Bring them to you, Lord Jesus. Bring them, oh God. Lord, we can love them, we can tell them, but Lord, you're the one who transforms the heart. So God, transform their heart today. Open up the blind eyes, the one who the God of this age has blinded the mind of the unbeliever. Lord, we pray today, remove the veil that they may behold Jesus. We pray today. We bless you, Lord. We thank you. We bless you, Jesus. We bless you, Lord. Hallelujah, we lift them up. Come on, pray out loud this morning. Call them to the Lord. Call them, come on, like a hospital this morning. We're gonna pray for them. Oh, God's gonna hear this morning. Oh, Jesus, move on their behalf. You must bring them also. You must bring them also, Lord. Hallelujah.